Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Before we open the scriptures this morning, I want to ask you all a serious question. And don't answer it out loud, but just answer it in your heart. And the question is this: how has God revealed himself to you? How has God revealed himself to you? One way that we know that God has revealed himself is by the scriptures. We know that the scriptures are God-breathed and that they are profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. We know that that's how God has revealed himself. And in the scriptures it says that God opens the eyes of the blind. Is that how God has revealed himself to you? Has he opened your spiritual eyes to see the truth? Is that how he has revealed himself to you? We know that hymn we sing, that open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Is that how the Lord has revealed himself to you? Or maybe he's opened your ears. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times before in your life, and then on one glorious Sunday, the Lord said, today, my son, you're going to hear, or my daughter, you're going to hear the gospel, and you're going to believe today. And he opens your ears. Is that how the Lord has revealed himself to you? Or maybe he's opened your mind to understand the word of God, like he did in Luke chapter 24. It says that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So is that how the Lord has revealed himself to you? There's another way that God has revealed himself, and it's to all people. It's a way I haven't mentioned yet. It involves everyone, to the believer and to the non-believer. Nobody is excluded from this particular way that God has revealed himself. And it is this: God has revealed himself to all people by creation. I don't know if you can see the picture on the screen, but that's a picture of creation. You may know where that's at also. That is the Quiver River State Park. That's Frenchman's Bluff. God's creation. That is how God has revealed himself to all people. So if you would, turn with me to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, that's page 538 in the Pew Bibles. Should be right in the middle of the Bible somewhere. Psalm chapter 19, and that's page 538 in the Pew Bibles. So this is the Word of God, and this is how God has revealed himself to all people. I'm going to read verse 1 through 6. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. May the Lord bless the preaching and the teaching of his word. Amen. Amen. So again, how has God revealed himself to all people, including you? God has revealed himself to all people by creation. It is by creation itself that we know that there is an eternal God. So as we look down to read the scriptures this morning, it's telling us to look up. Look up and see how God has revealed himself. And in Psalm 19, this beautiful and poetically inspired scripture that King David wrote, in this chapter, it was written to be sung among the people. So before verse 1, you can see it says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David." This just means that the people of God would gather together and sing this psalm. And it is a beautiful passage, so much that C.S. Lewis said this about Psalm 19. He said that Psalm 19 is the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. And that's a pretty bold statement by C.S. Lewis. And I would have to say, if there is any scripture in all of the Bible that I think of the most, it is Psalm 19, verse 1. I catch myself every morning as I drive to work and I see the sunrise, and I say to myself, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Amen. If you have social media, then you notice, you know, when a stunning sunset or sunrise happens, because it's all over your feed, people are quick to post a picture on that. And I believe it's because the beauty of God's creation gives us such a sense of awe and wonder that we look at it and it has such beauty that we find pleasure in it. So the theist, the one who believes in a God, and the atheist, they both can look out at creation and say, wow, how beautiful. But only one party can say, as Psalm 19 says, that the heavens actually declare the glory of God. Only one party can give credit where credit is due. Only one party can say that God made this. And that's the theist, the one who believes that there is a God and that He created all of this. And notice I said theist instead of Christian, because there are many false religions and false beliefs that also believe that God created all of this. We just watched a short clip on Muslims. They would also say that God created creation. And I'm just bringing this forward for one main reason, and that's because I want to establish something important in the very beginning, and that's this. It's a belief in God, or that God created everything, does not save you. You can marvel at the beauty of creation and acknowledge that God created it and still not be saved. But don't fear. I will do my best by the grace of God and by the help of the Spirit of God to show you what is necessary for salvation, that I would be able to preach the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. So now then, that let's look at verse 1 with me. Let's look at the first observation of this passage that is found in verse 1. And it should be on the screen. It is that God has revealed Himself to all people by a creation that is visible. God has revealed Himself to all people by a creation that is visible. Verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." So right away, we notice that King David is appealing to what he sees, by what's visible. And he's appealing to a visible creation when he says, "The heavens declare," or "the sky above proclaims." He's saying, look around you. God has revealed Himself in a visible creation, and a beautiful creation it is. Have you ever flown somewhere on a plane and you get to see the earth? It's the same earth, but it's just from a different perspective. I remember the first time that I was flying on a plane as a Christian, and I got so moved by the beauty of God that as the plane flew higher and higher, and I got to see the cars and the houses get smaller and smaller, it seemed like they turned to ants. I can remember thinking, I can barely take care of myself and my dog, and God is taking care of all of this. I remember thinking, that's a lot of people down there, and yet God was still personally ministering to me in that moment. And it reminds me of Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. It says this. It says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Brothers and sisters and friends, God has revealed Himself in a creation that is visible for all to see and for all to enjoy. And God is good at being God. Just look out at creation and say what verse 1 says. Look out and say, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." This is for all people to enjoy. All can look up at the sky, whether you're in America or Australia or Asia, whether you're, you know, all the nations, all the tribes, all the tongues can look up and see God's creation. And there's an important connection that's made in the scriptures about all people in this. In Romans chapter 1, we read that since all know that there is a God, then none are without excuse. that we cannot say we didn't know that there was a God. Scripture tells us plainly that those who say that are actually, as the scriptures put it, they are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And let me read to you a couple verses. It should be on the screen in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This is a passage talking about unrighteous unbelievers. And it says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." So to sum up this passage, it is saying everybody actually does know that there is a God because of creation. God reveals himself in a creation that is visible. But remember, believing that God created all of this does not save you. But believing in God's Son, who is visible, does save you. The answer is always Jesus, my friends. Look to him if you have yet to believe. Look to him on the cross as he bleeds. Look to him for forgiveness of sins. Look to him because God wins. God has revealed himself to all people in a creation that is visible. But even more so, God has revealed himself in a resurrection that is visible. You all know the account of Doubting Thomas, where the disciples came and told him that they seen the risen Lord, and he said, "I don't believe you unless I see the holes in his hands and in his side, unless I touch them, only then will I believe." And then 8 days later, this happens. It should be on the screen. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Amen. It would also go on to say that Thomas would say, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Do you believe because you have seen me?" He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe." Brothers and sisters, God has not only made himself known in all people, to all people, in a creation that is visible, but he's also made himself known by his Son, who is visible. And he said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the image of the invisible God who entered his own creation that is visible, and he went to the cross that is visible on Calvary's hill, and he was put in a tomb that is visible and that was owned by Joseph of Arimathea, and on the third day he rose from the grave in a resurrection that's visible." As we just read, that Thomas was able to put his hands on the Son of God and feel the holes in his hands and in his side. God has revealed himself in creation, brothers and sisters. But even more so, God has revealed himself in a resurrection that is visible. And the call goes out to all. And this is a scripture that even the, you know, Lord willing, some of the Truth for Kids would know. It's Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. But God has not just revealed himself to all people in a creation that is visible. God has also revealed himself to all people in a creation that speaks. And this is the second observation, should be on the screen. God has revealed himself to all people in a creation that speaks. Would you look at verses 2 through 4 with me? As I read them, starting in verse 2, it says, "Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." What a beautiful and poetically inspired scripture. Creation is speaking to you. Creation is telling you something, friends. Did you know that? What is it telling you? Remember now that King David was a shepherd boy before he was a king. He would care for the flock both day and night. He would spend his early years outside tending the sheep, and he was to watch over them while both day and night he was observing creation. Verse 2 says, day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. You can see the most amazing sunrises and sunsets in the day. You can see the moon and the stars light up the sky at night. What is creation telling you, friends? Creation is telling you that there is a God. Creation is revealing its creator. It's speaking like the beginning of verse 2 says, that day to day creation is pouring out speech. This speech is that the scriptures are speaking of is not a audible speech, obviously. It's not the willow tree in Pocahontas that was speaking to her. No, this is a creation that is telling us something. And you've heard that saying that actions speak louder than words. And those actions are inaudible also. And there's actually an old country song that I think of when I was studying this. And it was called When You Say Nothing at All by Ronan Keating. And it says something like this. It says, the smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. He's saying that the smile and the eyes and the touch of the hand tell him so much, yet not in an audible way. And so should creation, my friends. The sun, the moon, the stars are speaking inaudibly to us and saying, to God be the glory. And I want you to walk outside today and to see God's beauty and say, to God be the glory. And then add this, and the glory of God took on flesh. God has revealed himself to all people in a creation that speaks. And the only question is, are you listening? If you were paying attention to the words of that new song that we've been singing lately, that the worship team has introduced, it's Christ Be Magnified. It should be on the screen, the lyrics. But the very first, it starts off in the very first verse saying this. It says, were creation suddenly articulate, with 1,000 tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. When you walk outside these walls today, take a second and consider the work of the hand of God and say, oh, Christ be magnified. Christ be heard. God has revealed himself to all people in a creation that speaks. And the last thing to notice, the last observation in this text is that God reveals himself to all people in a creation that has order. A creation that has order and not chaos. King David is observing the sun and he's poetically describing the course that it runs. And one thing to consider, beloved, is that when David was writing this about the sun, back in that time, there were many ancient Near Eastern religions that believed that the sun was actually a god. And King David is not speaking about the sun god, but rather he's speaking about the God of the sun. Amen. The Most High God, the one true God, the God of creation, which includes the sun. And he is saying that this creation has order. Look at the latter end of verse 4 and then all of verse 5 with me as I read it. It says, in them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Have you all ever sat back and thought about the sunrise? Or as the scripture poetically puts it, a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Have you ever thought about how every single day there's a sunrise? Every single day there's a sunset. How consistent the sun is displayed day to day. And we know that the sun's going to rise in the east and it's going to set in the west. We know that the sun will, as the scriptures say, run its course with joy. Because God has revealed himself to all people by a creation that has order. One of my go-to sayings to somebody who does not believe in God is this. I would say, did you know that we're we're floating on a rock and we're spinning 2,000 miles an hour and we're 90 million miles away from the sun, yet we're still positioned perfectly to ripen your tomatoes. And if you took away the soil or the trees or the air, if you took away oxygen, if you took away just one of those, not a bunch of them, if you just took away one of those, we would all perish. You see, atheists believe that the order that we're in now came from chaos, that there was a big bang where nothing created everything. And I first would like to know how nothing could even explode if it was in fact nothing. But the atheists wouldn't stop there. They would say that nothing exploded and then created this creation with such order and consistency. And King David wrote about those people who believe such things. And he says, the fool says in their heart that there is no God. Friends, that would be like throwing some dirt and some sticks and some leaves into a shoebox and shaking it. And then when you open it, a dog pops out. Or if you're, a tornado goes by a scrapyard and it goes through the scrapyard, and when it leaves, there's a 747 Boeing plane sitting there that just got put together. Chaos does not create order, but God has revealed himself in a creation that has order. You can consider the water cycle. The water cycle. You have the rain that falls from the sky, and the rain trickles into the creeks, and the creeks flow into the rivers, and the rivers pour into the oceans, only for the rain to evaporate and go back up into the clouds so that the rain may trickle back into the creeks. Consider something so meaningless, seemingly meaningless, like walking out into a 100-acre field. You walk right out into the middle of it, and you fix your eyes on this one blade of grass, and just consider how much actually needs to take place in order for that blade of grass to even be there. It needs good soil, it needs sunlight, it needs rain, it needs oxygen, it needs a good root system. And God, who has created and is sustaining it, is in that very moment giving it all that it needs to live and thrive. God is good, and he provides all that is needed to that blade of grass. He provides all that is needed for those who have put their trust in his Son. But he's also provided for the person who hates him, the person who rejects him. God is good even to the non-believer when it comes to earthly pleasures. Even Hitler was able to sit down and enjoy a meal. Even haters of God are given the very breath in their lungs to curse their Creator. Isn't that amazing? That God would be so long-suffering towards us that he would allow his enemies to blaspheme him. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is long-suffering and didn't strike me down when I hated him, when I cursed him, when I was living happily in my sin, and by the grace of God, he humbled me and he took me to the foot of the cross. I'm glad that God is long-suffering. And if you're here today and you don't love Jesus, if you still have breath in your lungs, then there's still hope, because God is good even to the non-believer. God has revealed himself to all people by his creation. So remember, at the beginning of the sermon, I told you that believing in God, believing that God created everything, does not save you. But believing that God has revealed himself to all people by creation, that in and of itself won't save you. Do you know why? It's because you can look out at creation and know that there's a God, but you can't look out at creation and know that God took on flesh and was born of a Virgin Mary. You can look out at creation and know that there is a God, but you can't know that the Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, went to the cross to die for your sins. You can look outside and say, I know that there's a God, but you can't look outside and know that God willingly went to give his life for all who would repent and believe in him. You see, friends, that believing in God doesn't save you, and I hope that I can hammer that home, or believing, you know, that God created everything does not save you. But it is Jesus, it's always going to be Jesus. We know the prayer that we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, and we'll be praying that here pretty soon, but it's that kingdom that is given to all who would turn from their sin and trust in Christ. You can look outside and know that there is a God, but you can't look outside and know that God will be returning soon. That Jesus will be coming back, and if you have not repented and believed in him, there will be no more maybe next times. The door will be shut and never opened again like Noah's flood. There is no better time than right now to get right with the Lord, to confess your sins, to cry out to God, to say, have mercy on me, a sinner, because God has revealed himself to you. And to the believer, remember to thank and to worship God, not the creation, not the gift, but the giver. That if you were to worship the gift, it would be like your husband or your wife giving you a present and say it's a pair of shoes, and you get the shoes, you unwrap them, and then you say, oh, thank you, shoes, thank you. Instead of telling your husband or your wife, thank you. It's the same way with creation. Don't tell creation thank you. Tell God thank you. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that you have created the world and everything in it. We thank you for such a beautiful gift. Father, we thank you for the enjoyment that we are able to receive from such beauty. But Father, even more so, we thank you for entering creation clothed in flesh so that we could be redeemed, so that you could accomplish an eternal redemption for your people. You are a merciful and a good God, even to the non-believer, Lord. Would you open the eyes of those who do not truly know you this morning? Would you also strengthen and refresh the hearts that do know you? And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.